Okay, so we're recording. Everyone go to Chakubala. And we're on part two. Page 5. So we finished the first paragraph, I think. Except it's all one paragraph in the Pali because I was trying to fit it on one page. Although I didn't have to do that according to this. So let's try and split it up into pages, right? Okay, so we're looking at the second paragraph that begins with Anata Pindikopi. And that's a name, Anata Pindika, and the pi is from api, which means so or end. No, in this case it means both. You see, we have anatapindakopi and wisakapi. When you have two words both ending in p, it works kind of like cha. So if it was anatapindakocha vipassakacha, it would mean anatapindaka and wisaka. But api has the meaning, the implication, or it implies both, the idea of both. As well. So we translate here as both Anatapindika and Wisaka. And again, since Wisaka is a woman, her word ends with a long A, and Anatapindika is a man, so his ends with O. But they're both the subject of this sentence, which means the verb should be plural because we have two people in the subject. Even though Anatapindiko is singular and Wisaka is also singular. If you look way over at the end of that first line, you'll see gachanti. Gachanti being the third person plural. So it's more than one person as our subject. That's how subjects work in Pali. It's plural because there's more than one person involved with the subject. And the word maha upasika also goes with visaka. That's a adjective describing her. So it's Anatapindika and Wisaka, who was a Maha Upasika. So she was given the name of Maha Upasika, which means the great lay woman or lay person feminine.
Ante, if this Maha Upasika couldn't be that it's for both, that they are both great lay devotees, Anatapindika and Wisaka, that is plural, no?
Not likely because first of all it's feminine and the general tendency is if it's more than one you take masculine if there's a man involved. So the man you'd be hard pressed to find an example of a man and a woman put together and then the gender is feminine. Upasika is specifically a feminine word. Also the fact that Wisaka was given this title, I think by the Buddha, but she's always called Maha Upasika. It's just what she's called.
If this is masculine, then Maha Upasika ko is singular.
No, but you see, look at, do we have it? Upasika is feminine. If it was masculine, it would be Upasaka. E is only in the feminine version.
Okay. Upasaka. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You'll see in this if you do a search in this document, you'll probably find the word upasaka, which upasako, which is masculine. So yeah, this is definitely feminine, not plural. Although the plural of Mahaupasika can be Mahaupasika. To make it clear, you'd often say Mahaupasikayo. Mahaupasikayo. Nibbadhang is a indeclinable, I think. It means without any break. Ni means without, and Bada or Ada, I can't remember, means intermission, right? Am I making this up? No, Nibbidang, I'm way wrong, I think. Nibbadhang means they were bound. Just a second. What does Nibbadhang mean? We're bound. Okay. It's curious because doesn't relate to either of them grammatically.
Nibbada can be also fixed, stable, sure.
Right, so it's kind of like it was fixed that they did this. Or you could say that maybe Nibbada goes with Upatana. So it's an adjective for, but that's strange because it's so far away from the other word. It's more likely that this is just like an adverb or something.
But there is another meaning: asked, pressed, and urged. Maybe they were urged to do something.
Yeah, I don't think so. I probably was going by the Thai translation, which means they were bound to. Anyway, gachanti means they went. It's present tense, but present tense is often used to talk about the past. So we say they went. Gachanti is plural, so they went. Anattapindika, both Anattapindika and Visakha were bound to go, right? And they went what? Upatana. They went to take care of. Upatana means to look after. They went. Upatana. They went to the. It's an odd usage because it literally means they went to the place. But this is not a place. They went to the caretaking of the Tathagata. So Tathagatasa, asa is 6-1 here, or maybe 4-1, but I think 6-1. The Upatana of the Tathagata. And then dwe vara means occasion, and vare means on an occasion. No, wait. Dwe vare is plural, so it's not on an occasion. They went. This is also the object of the verb. So they went to the Upatana of the Tathagata twice. It's an odd grammar because the vare is also the object of the sentence. And it's dwevara is 2 times divasasa. This means 2 times of the day. Divasa is day, so divasasa is of the day. See how I translated this before. Dwe on 2 occasions. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I guess it means on, but it's not really on. It's a 2-1 or 2-2. It's the object of the sentence. So you see it's awkward to translate. because vade is not 7-1, which actually would make sense. If it would be varesu, then you'd understand. Varesu would be 7-2, so it'd be locative. So they went on two occasions. But this seems familiar to me, this using two, this the object, the accusative case, the second case, to talk about number of times. Anyway, they went on two occasions for the Upatthana of the Tathagata. And the next part of this sentence is a little bit different grammatically, because there's not really a verb. But it says gachanta. Gachanta is, it's plural, that's why the long A. So here we have an example of a word being used to describe both of these people. And it's most likely masculine, but it's a participle. So gacha is the stem, comes from gam, which means in regards to going. And anta is a present participle suffix. So gacha plus anta means going, as in the present. Or you could say while going. And participles work as adjectives, so it's describing those two people. It serves sort of as our subject for this part of the sentence. So gachanta means, in the cha afterwards, means end, well going, and the implication is those two people, right? And then you've got this quote. Quotes like this are interesting because there's nothing, it's a quote which would have been said or thought, and in this case thought, but the word for thought doesn't arise. And so you quite often have to add the word thought. So here we would say, and well going, and then you have this quote, you could say thinking here might work well. Well going, because they thought, or due to the thought. Why due to the thought? Because the next part is going to explain what they did something because of this thought. So they have this thought, and therefore, and if you look after the quote, you see the rest of that. They did something because they had this thought. Should I let you guys try and maybe Branko, do you have an idea what's being said there? Anybody?
Unfortunately, I don't have an idea.
Okay, so they're thinking something, and because of thinking that, they do something. So what are they thinking? So well going, they had the, because of the thought, and then this inside, then we go inside the quote. What is the thought? The thought is dahara samanera, something plural, no hatte oloke santi. Okay. The subject of the sentence is the dahara samanera. So, and I think this means both the dahara and the samanera, two different things put together as one. It could also mean the young samanera. Dahara means young, but I think here it means the young monks. No, maybe it just means the young samanera. But anyway, samanera is novice, monk. So the dahara samanera, let's see what it says in the translation. Yeah, the young novices. So dahara just means young. So the young novices, plural, it's the subject. Oloke santi, anti is plural, so it agrees with the subject, good. Olokesa means, oloka is the verb stem, meaning in regards to observing or overlooking, looking over, perusing, for example. So basically we'll see. They will observe. So these young samanera will observe. No hate. No is a, I'd mentioned this before, but you have to remember this one. It's probably not familiar to you yet. No is the catch-all first person plural pronoun. So it's used for many different, it's used for like third case, fourth case, fifth case, and sixth case. Maybe not fifth, I'm not sure. But if you look at the first person pronoun, in like I, mine, or our, no, in this case, ours, our, of us, with us, you know, for us. So it's the catch-all. Here it means our. And hatte is a plural form of hatta. Hatta is hand. So no hatte means our hands. The A, again, if we look at the paradigm, puriso, purisa, purisang, purise. Purise is a tutu form. So this is the object of the sentence. Hatte o loke santi means they will look, they will observe the hands of us. They will observe our hands. What does that mean? It means they're going to see if we brought anything. The young Samanera, whenever they see lay people coming, of course they're hungry or they're thirsty or they're having a hard time living as monks, they're struggling. So they're going to be looking, oh, did they bring us something? Because of this thought, tuccha hatha na gatapuba. Tuccha-hatha is also a one-two form. It's plural, but it's the subject of the sentence. So it has to do with the word gachanta. So these two people, when going, gachanta means they were going. Tuccha-hatha, tuccha means empty, hatha means hands. So that means someone who has hands that are empty. Na gata puba. Puba means previously. Gata means gone. Na is not. Can you guess what this means?
Before they were not coming with empty hands to the monastery.
Yeah, well, actually, puba in this case, it's often used in this way. It just means they never went. It puba means there was never a time. Na puba means up until this point, basically. Up until this point, they had not gone with empty hands. Why? Because they thought to themselves, the young Samanera are going to see our hands. They're going to see if we brought stuff for them. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, next sentence we have again gachanta, which means when going. Pure batang is a time. Pure means before, and bata means rice or meal. Here, you know, usually translated as meal, before the meal. Pure batang gachanta, going before the meal. And again, this serves as our subject. Gachanta is an adjective meaning going. So these people who were going, but we don't have, it doesn't specify the people because we don't need to. We know who they are. But that's our subject. Pure batang gachanta, it's plural, so let's go to the very end and find gachanti, right? You see at the before the comma, that's their verb. So these two people going before, when going before meal, gachanti, they went. And this is a common thing to say. When going before the meal, they went. You repeat yourself. This happens in Pali often. And then we have simply kadaniya bhojaniyadini gahetwa wa. Gahetwa wa is maybe a bit misleading, but the wa on the end is just the emphatic particle ewa. Always remember api and ewa. They're just stuck on like barnacles, and they confuse you because you think, I don't know what's gahetwa wa. What's an ending wa wa? What the heck is that? But the ending is gahetwa. The ending is twa, which we know is a past participle, having something, having done something. Wa is just means indeed, and it's on the end of so many words. You just have to remember to look for it, to recognize it. Same with bi, these two. So gahetwa means having grasped, having taken, having taken basically, having taken up. Okay, and here we have something that you have to learn as well. Kadaniya bhojaniya is two things. Kadaniya is a specific type of food. You could say something that you chew, and bhojani is something that you consume without chewing, potentially. I mean, that's one way of describing it. But it's just, this is standard for food. That's not the interesting part here. The interesting part is the end, the ending. So I have to explain this. When listing things, when you want to give a list of things, like etc., we use in English, this, that, and so on, we use the word adi. Adi means beginning. So if you see in there the adi part, adi means beginning. So in this beginning with. So how we would translate this in Thai is we'd add another word after this. We'd say watuni. Watuni being plural. This is, you see the ending of this kadniya bhojaniya dini. The ini on the end means it's a neutral plural, right? Anything that ends in I, like aki. If you learned the paradigms, neutral is aki, akini is plural. So anything that ends in ni, you can often remember that that's going to be a neutral 1-2 or 2-2 form. So we'd put after this, we'd put watuni, and then it'd be easier to translate. We'd say, having grasped the things, watu just means a thing, many things, plural, beginning with, so then kadaniya bhojaniya dini becomes an adjective. So it means many things. They took things or foods or consumables, beginning with kadaniya and bhojaniya. So they brought stuff, all sorts of stuff, beginning with chewable foods and I guess drinkable foods, maybe soups and stuff. But they brought other stuff as well. So when you see an ending like this, adini, or there are other forms of it, adi, means beginning with. Okay, that's a bit of a tricky thing, to something you have to remember. So they took here, they indeed going before the meal, they went taking foods beginning with kadaniya and bhojaniya. End of clause. Next clause is parallel. It says paccha batang gachanta, going after the meal. Paccha means after, bata again meal. And here we've shortened it even further because we don't need to fill out the sentence. We don't need to say gahitwa wa gachanti because it's the same thing. This just means if when they're going after the meal, and then you'd supply yourself, they went taking, but we don't include that. So this just means having gone after the meal, or going after the meal, the five pancha besaja, ani is plural, right? Besajani, the five besaja. Besaja meaning medicines. And here medicines means five things that are allowable. There's five types of medicines, like butter and ghee and oil and honey and molasses. I think that's all five. But they're only for sick monks, but they would bring them anyway because they're allowable in the evening. Atta cha panani, and cha. Atta means eight, panani means drinkables. Pana is in regards to drinking, so panani is the things that can be drunk. So these are the eight types of fruit juice, actually. It could be any type of fruit juice, but the Buddha mentioned eight types. So that, and that's all for that part of the sentence. It just, it's missing a lot, right? There's no subject. The subject is implied by gatapuba. No, not sorry. It's implied by gachanta. And there's no verb. The verb was already given in the past clause. So it's just a parallel clause. There's not even what they did in regards to the things. The gahitwa is missing also. So literally, after the meal going, the five medicines and the five drinks, or the eight drinks. But it makes perfect sense because in the past clause we already had all the necessary words. Okay.
Okay.
Is everybody else confused?
Doing okay, as long as you're explaining it.
Yep.
Good. I think that's fine. I mean, obviously, there's a huge reliance on me to do the work, but I think you're getting something out of it, no?
Yeah, it begins to look a little familiar, you know, as you go through all this.
Good. Okay, anyway, sanesu panate sang dvinang dvinang pikusahasanang nityam panate. All right.
Something in 7-2 form?
Indeed. Nivesana means dwelling. So in the dwellings. And panayu would normally translate first as but or moreover. In this case, it's more like moreover, furthermore. Furthermore, in the dwellings. We shouldn't start there. What is Panyadasana Neva? Why does that look like that? Panyadasana Na.
Anatta is regulated or made a rule, made known, declared.
Yeah, but why is it asana neva?
Eva is again extra, so.
Well, Eva is fine, but the N there is confusing. Asana, is the N just a, what do you call it? Agama?
Anisandhi, no?
Yeah, he's just adding the N out of Sunday, I guess. Okay, so that's the, because that's our subject. So we want to actually start there. Well, we don't have to actually. We could say in their, and furthermore, in their dwellings. Yeah. Unless you wanted to say in the dwellings of them, as in tesang, meaning of them. Yeah, it might be that it should be tesang niwasanesu. So, furthermore, in the dwellings of them, tesang, meaning of them. But normally tesang would be before niwasanesu. But I guess at the beginning of a sentence, it can be mixed up like that. Okay, so we'll translate that first in English because it makes better sense that way. Take those first three words out, and then we go and find the subject. Panyatasana. Asana means seats, and this is plural. Panyata means set up, put out. So they put out, seats were put out. Honti means were. So there were panyata asana. And you could separate this. The asana, honti, were panyata. Right? They were put out. So the asana, the seats, were put out. That's how this should be understood. But in Pali, you say it differently. You say, there were put out seats. There were seats that were put out. Hmm? Or seats that were put, seats put out, put out seats existed, is literally what it means. Or indeed, and the Eva is indeed, sort of. You don't always have to translate Eva. Sometimes it's just awkward to do so. Okay, Nichang. So, seats were put out in their houses, in their dwellings. Nichang means always. So it's like the opposite of Anicca. It means without fail, without change. Permanently. Yes, we're permanent. Permanently, we're put out. Bhikkhu sahasanang, Bhikkhu means bhikkhu. Sahasa means 1,000. Anang is makes this a 6-2 form. So it's belonging to. Or you could say it's a 4-2 form. I don't think so, but it could also be for the monks. For 1,000 monks. So seats were put out for 1,000 monks. Yeah, maybe it is 4-2. For the 1,000 monks. Dvinang, dvinang. Okay, so it's not 1,000 monks. Dvinang is also a 6-2 or 4-2 form. It agrees with Bhikkhu Sahasa. So these two words, Dvinang Bhikkhu Sahasanang, means for the 2,000s of monks. So you have 1,000 of monks, 1,000 being a thing, and there's, it's what is it 1,000 of? It's 1,000 of monks. Dvinang means 2. So this means 2,000. This is how you would say 2,000 monks. If you wanted to say 10,000, you would say Dasanang Bhikkhu Sahasanang. If you wanted to say 100, you would say, no, 100 might be a little more different. Yeah, a little different. Numbers are a bit complicated. I don't think we went over them, actually. Not the higher numbers like this. Purposefully, because they confuse me. I didn't pay too much attention to that. I did. It's a long time ago. Exactly how numbers work. But there's lots of complicated rules. But here, anyway, better we just...
Bhante, why it is twice? Dvinang, dvinang.
Right, so this is the thing. Because there's two houses, right? Dvinang, dvinang, bhikkhu sahasanang means two and two thousands of monks. So in each house, there were 2,000. There were seats set up for 2,000 monks.
Okay.
So first, just the two words together means 2,000 monks. Dvinang dvinang bhikkhu sahasanang means 2,000 monks and 2,000 monks in their dwellings. So it means, yeah, in each house, 2,000 monks. Seats for 2,000 monks. This is how you say, this is how you plural things in Pali often. Like atta. Atta, for example, there's no plural form of atta. If you want to say two selves, souls, for example, it would be atta atta. You have to say it twice. And this kind of thing happens. It's funny because Asian languages often do this as well, Southeast Asian languages. Like in Sri Lankan, they say podi podi, right? Although maybe that's a bit different. But I know you come across this duplication. Tik tik in it's funny in Cambodian they say tik tik means just a little. In Sri Lankan they say tikak, right? But in Cambodian tik tik they say it twice. And it's a bit different, I guess. Okay, next sentence. In this next sentence we have what I've called for you the relative correlative clauses, and these are tough ones, but you see you have the ya and the da, and these correspond. This I remember this sentence because it's especially convoluted, but okay. So anapana besa jesu. Let's translate that part first, because it's going to help us if we do. Just get it out of the way. This means in. Esu, right? 7-2 means in regards to. Ana means rice. Pana means drinks. Besaja means medicine. So in regards to rice and drinks, food and drinks. Ana, I guess, means food, right? Food and drinks and medicines. In regards to food and drinks and medicines. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Take that word out. Let's look at the rest of this. Yo yang ichati tasatang yatichitameva sampachati. Okay, so let's work with the first part. Yo means who. It's a 1-1 masculine. So we're talking about a person most likely. Bhikkhus, actually. Yo means who. But not a question. It means whoever. Yang, what. Yang is the object of the sentence. So it's yoyang ichiti, means who wanted ichiti, ich in regards to wanting. Yoyang ichiti, who wanted what? That's all it means. But it's not a question. It's referring, it's the relative clause to the following correlative clause. So whoever wanted what, dasa, to that person, dung, that, yat tichitameva. So again, dasa dung means for that person that, right? For that person is refers to the yo. So who wanted what? For that person, that dung, and dung here I think is the subject of the sentence. Dung sampajati. Sampajati is what happens, is the verb that happens to dung. So dung sampajati. Sampajati means to come to, right? To be gotten by. What does it exactly mean? Fulfilled, right? Whatever was one.
To succeed and to prosper.
Yeah. It comes to be, comes to fulfillment. So the thing came to but it's not, the monks are not succeeding. The subject of the sentence, I'm pretty sure, is the dung. So dung sampajati means that appeared or came to fulfillment. That thing came to be, basically. It's not exactly literal.
But does it mean that in respect of food and drink, whatever they were wanting, they would get this or something like that?
Yeah, but grammatically it doesn't work that way. Tang here could also refer to... No, it does mean... It could refer to just a wish. Yang ichiti. But it's yang ichiti. Yo yang ichiti. Whatever they wanted. Dung, that thing that they wanted. Sampajati. And this is actually common. I know this sense of sampajati. It means that came to fulfillment. That thing appeared, basically. But we don't have a word. We don't say it like this in English. But it means that thing succeeded, basically. But it's, you know, it's an awkward, because dung is the subject. Dung is the thing that did the verb. So basically, it just appeared, or it came to them. Yat tichitang. So eva is the emphatic participle. It just means indeed, or just. Ichitang means as was, or means was wanted. So ich is again this stem that means in regards to wanting. Ita is a past participle ending. So this means was wanted. And ang is just, that should be, the M should just be an ang, because without eva it would be ichitang. Ichitang means was wanted. Yatta, yatichitang is yatta ichitang. Yatta means in which way. So yet, and yata is often used in this. This isn't have, it doesn't have anything to do with the other ya and ta in the sentence. This is just the way that yata is used. So we have this word yata buddha, which means as buddha, as existed. You know, according to, yata buddha means according to reality. So yatichitang means according to as was desired. This is just how yata is used. So this word yatichitang means as one, as desired, as was desired, or yeah, as desired. So yasa, where are we? Dasa tang yatichitameva sampajati means to them that was gotten or appeared, came just as desired. Got it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do the next paragraph and then we'll call it a day. Okay, here we have, in Thai this is difficult. I think it's easier in English. Desu. Desu means in regards to them. Again, right? 7-2. So we're talking about these two people. So we sort of translate this as among those two. Or of the two. Of the two of them. And then the rest of the sentence is going to be referring to one of them. Anatapindika. You see that? Anatapindikena. So of the two of them, and we forget about that, that we take that part out, translate that first in that way, and then take it out. Because that's what this is saying. Tesu means in regards to the two of them, or of the two of them, and then the sentence. And the funny thing is the sentence, the subject isn't even Anatapindika, but it's referring to Anatapindika. Of the two of them, or yeah, of the two of them, what's the subject of this sentence?
The one of them, the Eka Diwa Sampi?
No, Eka Diwa Sang means one day. B is an emphatic part, is sort of a, yeah. Eka Diwa Sampi means even, actually, I think here. But forget about the P, it's not really important. Eka Divasa means the time, so we can take that out. On one day. And the P actually means even, even on one day. And the na way at the end there means not even on one day, is what it's saying. The subject here is sattā. Sattā is an irregular verb, it's a regular noun. Sattā is the teacher. We've had it before up at the top, I think, in the past paragraph, but it means the teacher. This is a 1-1 form of sattā. Sattu, maybe, is the dictionary form. Yeah, sattu. Sattā, the teacher, means the Buddha. So of the two of them, and if we want to, in English, we can go out of order and say, by Anatapindika, right? Anatapindikena, by Anatapindika, even on one day, and we should take the na out if we want to make it make better sense, not even on one day, and then we would say, was the teacher, not even one, by Anatapindika, not even on one day was the teacher. And what was the teacher? Puchita Pubo. Again, I said, na puba means never, not in the past. Puchita means asked. Puchita is an adjective, past participle, means that the teacher was asked. So satta puchita. Do would be, was not asked. But because puchita is in a compound, there's no O on the end. So satta puchita pubo, the O is on the end of puba, right? When you put things in compounds, only the last part gets the declension. So the satta was asked in the past, not. Eka diwa sang, even on one day. Eka diwa sampi, even on one day. Banha means a question. Can anyone translate this?
Anatapindika never ask any question to the teacher.
Yeah, well translated. I mean, literally, it's quite more literally, it's more complicated, but yeah, that's the gist of it. So even on one day, Anatapindika never asked a question. Why? And it's going to tell us in the next sentence. But he never asked a question even on one day. Literally, it means, in regard, literally, it's translated, Desu, in regards to those two, Visakha Anatapindika, Satta, the teacher, na puchita pubo, was not asked ever in the past, banhang, a question, eka diva sampi, even on one day. No, not even once. Next sentence. So kira, Kira we take out first. Kira means it is said. In Thai they translate it as I have heard, but I don't think that's what it means. It means it is said. Kira, you'll see this often. It is said. And so you just take it out. Say, it is said that. So means he. It's a 1-1 form of da. Remember, da is the third person pronoun. But 1-1 form is sa, not so. Is so, not to. So he, and he here refers to Anatapindika. Because we're trying to find out why Anatapindika doesn't ask questions. Because we are told, it is said that he, and then we have a quote. And the quote has a quote inside of it. You see that? Tathagato Buddha Sukumalo, Katya Sukumalo. And then right next, there's a quote inside of it, which is Bahupakaro Me Gahapati. That's another quote. Quote inside of a quote. Causes us more headaches. Maihang tamang de sendo kilameya ti. So that ti at the end of kilameya, that's the end of our quote. So we take quotes first of all to be a single thing. Don't worry about what's inside them yet. But as I said before, we're not often going to find the verb relating to them. So what was this? He was thinking. Usually if there's no verb, it's thinking or sometimes saying, but usually thinking. So he... It is said that he, thinking, and then he thought this to himself, and so then we go inside. Once we go inside, we're in a whole other world. We've got a whole new grammatical sentence to deal with. We find the subject. The subject is the Tathagata. So the Tathagata, Tathagato, 1-1, Buddha Sukumalo is Sukumala. Sukumala is... what is the word? Delicate, right? The Tathagata is a Buddha Sukumalo, is a delicate, or has the delicacy of a Buddha, you could say. Has almost like fragility, but not fragility, the word is refinement, like a prince or a king, right? And Katya Sukumalo is the refinement of a king. The meaning is delicacy. So they're not used to rough treatment. It's not...
tender or refined.
Yeah, but the sense here is that somehow there's it's not someone you want to bother, or it's someone who will be tired, will get tired easy because they've never had a rough life. They've never had to. I mean, I don't know. It's not a pejorative in that sense exactly, but you know, you don't. It's not the kind of person who is accustomed to being treated harshly, that kind of thing. So thinking, the Buddha, the Tathagata has the delicacy of a Buddha, has the delicacy of a Katya, which means a royal or a prince, king even. And then again we have this little quote, Bahupakaro Megahapati ti, is again thinking. So the Buddha who is delicate, thinking, and then we have to go inside again. So we go inside and we start our grammar over again. Bahupakaro me gahapati. Bahupakaro, actually the subject would be gahapati. Gahapati means householder. Gaha meaning geha, meaning the home. Gahapati means, so the householder, bahupakaro me. Bahupakaro is an adjective for gahapati. So bahupakaro means of much, bahu. Upakara, support or help. The gahapati, the householder, anatapindika, is of much help or support. Me means to me. Me is the singular universal substitute for the first person pronoun. Remember I said no is plural, me is singular. For the third person, for the second person pronoun, it's de and wo. De is singular, so de you use in many cases. Look through these pronouns. If you're confused by what I'm saying, go look and you'll see that de is used in many cases just as a substitute. So you have to get to know these two. Me and no, de and wo. So me here means for me, to me. So this Gahapati has been of great support to me. The Buddha, who is delicate, thinking that I am of great support to him, thinking, oh, this householder is of great support to me. Because of that, Desento, teaching, Deseti, Des is in regards to teaching, Desenta is again the present participle. So teaching, Dhammang Desento, teaching the Dhamma, Maihang, to me. Maihang is the four one form of amha, which is the first person pronoun. To me, kilameya is finally our verb. Kilama means in regards to getting tired, fatigued. Eya is optative, means should or would. So do we get the sense here? The Buddha's delicate and thinking that what great benefit, great support this Gahapati has been for me, teaching the Dhamma to me, because he thinks that, because he feels obligated, kilameya would become tired. So that's our quote within a quote. And all of this is what he was thinking. So Anattapindika thinking this, and let's grammatically proper, let's go right to the end and say na puchati, didn't ask panhang a question. Sattari adi mata sinehena. Ena means by or with, through. Here you could say because of, as a result of. As a result of adimata. Adimata means extreme. You could say overly. Adi means high. Adimata means overly sineha. Sineha means love or affection. Because of his extreme affection, Sattari, in regards to the Satta, in regards to the teacher. Again, this is irregular. Sattari is a 7-1 form. Sattari adimata sinehena. So because of his great affection for the, or in regards to the Buddha, panhang na puchati, a question did not puchati ask. Is that at least somewhat clear?
Yeah, he didn't want to tire him out. He was trying to be considerate.
But like, is the grammar clear? Can you get that out of the words I gave you?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right, let's stop there. Thank you all for coming out. What I'd really like to do is, because I've got this electronic writing pad that someone gave me when I was in Florida, and it works really well on like PowerPoint. If I do a PowerPoint presentation and if I screencast that, I can like highlight words and edit and stuff. It's really neat. Easier to... potentially easier to show stuff. I can write 7-1, for example, that kind of thing.
How would we see that, Bhante?
Well, the easiest way, I think, would be to just do a YouTube hangout on air, because then it's also recorded on YouTube.
Yeah, that might be a lot more useful to people looking at them afterwards.
And then, you know, if we've only got 6 people, then so you all could come in the hangout as well.
Thank you, Bhante.
Bhante, it would be also helpful if we can prepare in advance. So, because now I'm just going through this and listening to your explanation, but if I look in the dictionary and think by myself, I think I will learn more. So can
for
we
sure,
set few sentences for next time to prepare and then analyze and then we can discuss?
For sure. I mean, let's continue where we left off. So next week we'll start with Sattapanatasming.
until the end of the paragraph or?
Well, you see how far we got today, so we'll probably get further than that one paragraph. We'll probably go on to part 3 or whatever part.
Okay, okay.
So paragraph 4 of part 2, and how many would you say on part 3 to look at?
As far as we get. We'll just keep going until we stop. I mean, when I did use this originally, I gave people this word, this reader, and they would go through it on their own. I mean, they had, these were people staying in the monastery, so they had lots of time on their hands. So you can, you know, do as much as you feel comfortable. You've got everything there in front of you. You've got the English, and then the next page, you've got the word by word. So this reader is really all you need. So go through as much as you can, and we'll go through as much as we can live. I mean, the more you guys do in advance, the quicker it goes for us, I think.
Yeah, if you prepare in advance, I think it will go faster than like this.
Yeah. But, you know, some people aren't able to do that, I think, and I still will have to explain stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But okay, we'll try as we go along, see how it goes. Anyway, so do some of that. And if you haven't, you know, it's really is a good idea to go over the paradigms. You know, memorize them at least temporarily so that they get more familiar in your mind. Spend some time going over the paradigms, whichever ones you haven't looked at least look, make sure you've read through all the paradigms at least a couple of times to get a feel for them, familiar with them. It's as you can see, it's incredibly important for recognizing stuff.
Yeah, the few that I have committed to memory, they do kind of jump out, and it helps.
Yeah, that's what you can see. Okay, so thank you all for coming. See you again next week.